glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord for his strength. Seek his face always. Heavenly Father, today is a new day, and we begin it this morning in worship, affirming that you are God and we are your people. We can give thanks to you, Lord, for you are indeed good, and your steadfast love endures forever. Let's stand, and we're going to sing our first song this morning. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Let's stand and let's sing this together. It's a great hymn, that, isn't it? Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Isn't that a great start this morning, just to get us ready to worship God and see what he's got for us this morning? Hope you're excited this morning. I'm always excited, as you know, when I come into this building and I'm able to just say thank you to God for the things that he's done for me. It excites me. And I really hope it excites you this morning. We're going to come together now in prayer. And I'm going to pray for all sorts of things. I'm going to start big. and I'm going to end up with us. And as I go through this morning, there's this verse here, and I'm going to stop. And after every section, I want us to say this together out loud. I'm going to have a pause between each of the sections for you to bring your own prayers to God as we bring our prayers of intercession before him this morning. So let's give God thanks. Heavenly Father, creator of everything, thank you for this world which you have created. As we look around and we see the things that are going on, it's not all good. I'm reminded in Genesis 1, when you created the world, you actually said, it was good. But as we look around now, it's not quite as good as what it was when you created it. We see war, nations rising against nations, still Russia bombarding Ukraine. And we bring that country before you this morning. And all the other things that are going on around the world. We see earthquakes, we see famine, we see floods. Father, be with your people. Even though at times it appears that we're not doing what you originally commanded us to do, to look after this world that you originally created. Lord, I thank you for organizations like BMS and Samaritan Purse that faithfully proclaim your name and help around the world. Be with those organizations and all those that work in them. And we say together, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Lord, we bring our nation before you this morning. Where do we start? As we look at the turmoil in government and we see the things that are going on there, we realize how much we as a nation need you. You to intervene. You to take control. And Father, as the government tries to get together and come up with a coherent plan and come up with a credible leader, be in that situation. Let us have a leader for our nation that you want, that will do your will, even though they may not know it. And again we say together, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Lord, as we look closer to home, we look at our community, this area of our country, Desborough, and the surrounding villages. Lord, I pray for the homes and for the families that are in our community. Many I know will be struggling, wondering how they're going to pay their bills, wondering how they're going to heat their homes. Lord, be with us. Help us in the things that we do to help those that are in our community. I thank you for the food bank in Kettering. Lord, just be with them. as food comes in, let there be enough for people to get through these next weeks and months, especially as we come towards winter. Thank you that you are a helper. We say together, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And for our fellowship here, Lord, those that faithfully come week by week, and those that are associated and members of our fellowship, thank you, Lord, that you are our healer. Be with those who are sick and those that need a touch from you this morning. And Father, for our outreach here, for all the groups that meet, those that are interacting with the youngest, and those groups that are helping and involved with the eldest. Be with those that lead. Allow your Holy Spirit to intervene in all things that we seek to do here in this fellowship. And we say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And finally, Jesus, we bring ourselves before you. Thank you that you are our friend. Remind us this morning of the things that we as individuals need to pray for, the things we can thank you for, and the things that we are needing. And we say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And we're going to finish by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Notices are on the sheets that you've been given. A just reminder that we've got some fantastic yummy breakfasts coming up. Still lots of space to sign up in the meeting room. And please also remember our gala night. We do need a few volunteers for Revive to help out there. And there's a sheet on the table for you to sign up if you're willing to help in Revive at gala night this year. So just prayerfully consider that. And if you can help, put your name on the sheet. amazing Jesus is. And our world is amazing, isn't it? I have here a simple ball. Now, what's going to happen to this ball if I let go of it? It is going to hopefully fall downwards, isn't it? And it's one of these things that we take for granted. Just like that. And every time I let go of this ball, it's going to do the same thing, isn't it? It is going to do that. But why? I can't see anything pulling it down. Why does the ball go down and not up? There's something in play here, isn't there? It's a force, isn't it? It's a force called, come on, students, gravity. Gravity pulling, and I'm so thankful to God for gravity. Because not only does it make the ball fall down, it makes sure that I keep my feet on the floor. Even when I jump, I come back down to earth again. And there's so many things that you can look at around the world that are amazing. We can't see gravity, can we? But we can see the effect of it. And Jesus is amazing. And I'm going to show you a short video now to show you just how amazing Jesus actually is. Watch this and see.
To proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight from the blind.
Clearly, he hasn't read the Torah.
Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his home.
We're late.
Don't you complain, but you're the one who kept stopping for lunch and morning tea and rest breaks and dessert joint and...
I'm sorry, man. I know this was important to you.
Hang on. Levi, if you're afraid of heights, raise your hand.
What?
Yay!
Heavy!
Surely you will quote this proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself. And you will tell me, do he?
Friend, your sins are forgiven.
Forgiving sins? Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy?
Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven? Or to say, get up and walk?
Get up, take your mat,
and go home.
Jesus is really amazing, isn't he? Isn't he amazing? He heals the sick. He works miracles. He keeps his promises. He's always there. He forgives sins. And he wants to be my friend. Isn't that amazing? This Jesus, who spoke the world into being, who created gravity, wants to be my friend. And there's a verse from the Bible, and it says, Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command. This God, this Jesus who came as a man, did all these wonderful, amazing things because he was God. Wants to be your friend and wants to be my friend. And I think that's really neat. We're going to sing a couple of songs now. The music group are going to come. And the first one is God of Grace. Amazing wonder, irresistible and free. Oh, the miracle of mercy. Jesus reaches down to me. Let's stand and sing this first one together. And then we've got a new one that we're going to share with you this morning. And I'll just introduce it before we sing it together. So, God of Grace, Amazing Wonder. Thank you, guys. Sing a new song together, and it's called I Raise a Hallelujah. Some of you may know it, but I think this is a cracking song. I want you to imagine Jericho, Joshua walking round those walls, and on the seventh day they raised a hallelujah, and what happened? The walls came down. And the chorus goes, I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. Hallelujah. Let's get together and sing this fantastic song together.
Praise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Praise a hallelujah louder than my unbelief. Praise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. Praise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. Is alive. I'll raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I'll raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. Hallelujah, in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah, fear you lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is the melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder.
My weapon is the melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah.
It's good that we can raise a hallelujah this morning, isn't it? Yeah? We're going to come to our reading this morning. Which is found in the book of Matthew, and it's chapter 25. And it continues from where we left off last week, really. And I'm going to read from verse 14 of 25 through to verse 30. So Matthew 25, 14 to 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned. and settled accounts with them. The man had received 5 bags of gold, bought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I pray that God will bless those words to us as we unpack them a bit in a minute's time. But before we do that, we're just going to sing one more song. And it's a song, Open My Eyes, That I May See Glimpses of Truth Thou Hast For Me. And I pray that as we sing this, we will just prepare our hearts for what I believe God has got to say to us this morning. Let's stand and sing this together. Thanks, Brian. So this morning then, we're continuing our journey through some of the stories Jesus told. And this one, as I already said, continues immediately from where we left off last week. So Jesus may still be sitting on the Mount of Olives, talking to the disciples, answering their questions. Last week was about getting ready, staying the course, and getting on with it. And I could sum up this week's parable in a very similar way. Which reminds me, you can't have too much of a good thing, can you? Right, so here goes. I just want to pull out five simple things that I saw when I read the passage. Firstly, I saw that it was a long journey. We've read in verse 14 that a man was going on a journey. Some translations actually say long journey. But in any event, we know that it was a considerable time because in verse 19, we're reminded that he returned after a long time. Here then, Jesus might have been forewarning the disciples that he was going to be away for quite some time. Now, you could say 2,000 plus years is quite some time to be away. So the return could be any day now. And indeed, it could be. But just before you get too excited and begin practicing your rapture jumps this morning, just let me remind you what Peter said about the Lord's timekeeping. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends, he said. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. So the truth is, we really don't know. We just have the Master's promise that he will indeed return. So I also see here that the Master doesn't just tell his servants that he's off and then departs with a cheery wave goodbye. They are entrusted with wealth. And if I was to ask you this morning, what's the most expensive thing that you own? I wonder what you would reply. Some might say, well, it's my house. Or my car. You might be drawn to a piece of jewellery. A collection of some kind. Or maybe shares in a business. Here in our story, the man shares out his wealth to his servants. Bags of gold. Some translations say bags of silver. Some others go back to the Greek unit of weight. The talent. So what's the value of a talent? Well, it would have been equivalent to about 6,000 denarii. Does that help? No. Okay. So one denarii would be the wage of a single day for a labourer. One denarii. If you multiply that up, it would then take 16 to 20 years to earn just one bag of gold as handed out to the servants. So a lot of money. Now we mustn't fall into the trap here of considering the servants now as being very wealthy. Yes, they may have a lot of money, but they didn't own it. It all still belonged to the man who'd entrusted it to each servant. At this point in our story, I think we might assume that the servants knew they were only custodians until the man returned from his trip. So my original question might have been better phrased as, what is it that you value most? Now your answer might still be house or car, but now it might also include things like my family or my health. But I wonder how many of us would have gone as far as to say that the thing I value most is my relationship with Jesus. And honestly, was that your first thought? How about this for a verse? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Did you know this morning that everything we have is in actual fact a gift from God? Our spouses or partners are actually a gift from God, whether they're born-again Christians or not. You were put together for a reason. Parents, your children are a gift from God. Now, sometimes it might be hard to agree with that, but it is actually true. God also gives us gifts to use, doesn't he? And maybe you could call those talents, even though that's not what necessarily we were talking about in this particular parable here. It might be a gift of speaking, a gift of hospitality, a gift of friendship. It could be part of your specific skill set, something you've been developing over a period of time. It could even be something material you own. For example, if God has gifted you with a car, how could you use that to bless someone else? And the actual list, obviously, is endless. Now, do you see where this is going? We all have something that God has entrusted to us that he expects us to use. And before you put your hand in the air and say, well, I can't, here's my next point. The man gave according to ability. To one, 5 bags, to another, 2, and to a third servant, 1 bag. And what does it say? Dividing it in proportion to their abilities. You see, God doesn't give you anything that you cannot handle. And this is me preaching to me here. College is tough. I have my first 2 essays due in a couple of weeks. And man, the reading. You would not believe. Not only reading for essays, but a mountain of reading for classes too. Remind me why I signed up for this? Now, you don't start to learn to drive by getting in a Formula One car, do you? You start more modestly, maybe in a Corsa or something similar. Now, you might end up driving an F1 car, but it's a learning process, isn't it? There are stages you need to go through. If the first car you attempt to drive is Lewis Hamilton's Mercedes, then surely this is a crash waiting to happen. And God never, ever, ever wants you to crash. The things he's entrusted to you are given to you because he knows you can handle them. Faith is the key here. By faith, Abel brought a better offering than Cain did. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Moses' parents hid him from the Egyptians. By faith, the people of Israel passed through the Red Sea on dry land. They all lived by faith, right up until the day they died. And the writer of Hebrews said that none of them saw what was promised in Christ. They all lived by faith under the old covenant. But God has planned something much better for you and for me in Jesus. Hallelujah. Still with me? So you can do it. Or as Annalisa keeps telling me, Nick, you've got this. But there's a huge difference, isn't there, in knowing you can do something and actually doing it. So the question remains, what do you do with what you've been given? We see from our story that 2 of the servants used what they were given and what saw it multiply as a result of what they did with it. The result was growth. But one servant, he hid what had been offered to him. What does Jesus say in Matthew? You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. When we are faithful to Holy Spirit's leading, walking as God intended and allowing our light to shine out, we see that God blesses. So are you investing what God has given you in his kingdom? Are you living out your daily life for Jesus? Or are you hiding away, hoping no one will notice? Or maybe it's a bit of both, depending on what sort of day you're having. And I know at times I feel this way, getting to the end of the day and asking myself, what actually have I achieved for God today? Did that circumstance I found myself in bring glory to Jesus? And honestly, sometimes I find myself actually saying, well, no, it didn't. Many banks will have a warning which says something like, the value of your investment can go down as well as up, and you can get back less than you originally invested. This is not so with God. He would issue a statement which says something like, the value of your investment can only go up. You will always get back more than you originally invested. And I'm sure many of us can testify to God providing for us in wonderful ways when we needed it, when we were doing what he asked. You see, God is not working in the natural. And this isn't about money. It's about how our lives are invested. Have we deposited everything we have in Jesus? You see, his guarantee doesn't stop at £85,000. He guarantees our very salvation. Jesus made sure of that on the cross of Calvary. His guarantee is also eternal. It never runs out and it doesn't need renewing. When you look at the graph of your investment pot, the value is only going one way, and that's upwards to heaven. Come on, folks. We know a God who saves sinners. He heals the sick. He works miracles. And he has invested everything he has in us. And the joining fee? Well, it's simply surrender. Allowing Jesus to have control of our entire being, everything we have to shape us into the person that he wants and actually needs us to be. So why is any of this important? Well, at some point, the master returns. He wants to see what you've done with the things that he has given us. How much do you want to look at Jesus and hope he actually says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Is that what you're hoping? Yeah, that's what I'm hoping too. But what about the one servant? Get this. Who knew the master, was given the same opportunities, but failed to engage and invest what he had. Here's the response from the master, and I've took it from the Message version. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? He was stripped of what he had and thrown out, just like last week, a sobering ending. And it looks like no way back. Someone who actually knew the Master, but still managed to lose it all. I know what I would rather have Jesus say to me when he comes back. But he doesn't just want part of us. He demands our all. He expects the best we can offer. Why? Because he's given to us the best in the first place. He is priceless and given to us as a gift. Receiving Jesus is the most significant and life-changing thing you and me will ever do. One day, Jesus is coming back again. We know not the day or the hour, but we need to be ready. Let's invest our lives wisely and look after each other as we continue to shape the vision and mission of our fellowship here in Desborough. So what are you doing whilst waiting? Lord Jesus, this is a timely reminder of where we are as individuals and as a fellowship. Lord, give us something to take away from this message this morning. Remind us continually that one day you are coming back. Lord, I don't want to say and hear you say, if you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? I'm hoping one day that you can look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's celebrate together. So, Lord, as we continue to pray and to seek your guidance for vision and for mission, be with us. Guide our thoughts. Guide our hearts. And help us to do the best we can for the one who's given everything for us. Amen. We're going to finish this morning by singing this. And I hope this morning that you can stand and you can sing this with gusto. And you can believe it. And you can make this your prayer. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Let's stand and let's sing together. Thanks, Brian. And we finish this morning by saying the grace one to another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.